Tom, it's great to have you back on Full Story.
Thanks, Noor. It's good to be with you.
We are speaking to you just minutes after Anthony Albanese addressed the nation. These kinds of addresses are pretty rare. Can you describe what it was like to watch from inside Parliament House?
Yeah, the word got around this morning that the Prime Minister was going to speak. It's the first time in 6 years that there's been one of these television addresses. And of course, that takes us back to Scott Morrison and the time of the pandemic. And I thought it was interesting that the government pointed out that the pandemic and the global financial crisis were the previous instances. That immediately said to me, this is a major moment and that it's going to be a significant message from the PM. I watched the address a bit before it went out nationally. I thought the PM was calm and upbeat. I thought his message will cut through with a lot of people. I mean, I heard from people this afternoon saying, what's he going to announce? Are we going to have work from home orders or fuel rationing? I think people will be relieved those tough measures aren't happening. Mm. Instead, it's sort of a halfway message, isn't it? If you can save fuel by taking public transport or not travelling unnecessarily, please do so. But otherwise, go about your life. The government's got a plan in place and we think we can handle it.
Well, let's talk about that, Tom, because there were no concrete announcements and he urged Australians to essentially be mindful of their fuel usage. What message was Anthony Albanese attempting to convey?
Yes, on fuel, I think he was trying to say continue as normal. He said, don't take more fuel than you need. Fill up like you normally would and think of others in critical industries or in the bush who can't go without fuel. I think that's a continuation of the message that the PM has put around in recent days. While there are shortages, he's saying that people don't need to change their behaviour radically. And I think he was suggesting that if you could take public transport, that might be a good thing to do. If things got worse, if there were serious interruptions, he said there was a plan in place to deal with them. Perhaps some people might find that message a bit unsatisfying. They might be looking for more certainty about what will go on. But the government's trying to stress they think they've got this situation in hand.
Mm. He also said that the months ahead may not be easy. Is the Prime Minister signalling through that language that tougher measures and more pain is to come? What did you read from that kind of language?
Yeah, he referenced the four-stage plan that they put out on Monday, which deals with fuel security. I think the comments are akin to what he said earlier in the week, that we're currently at stage two. The government believes there's a long way to go before we move to stage three. Reading between the lines, it seems like some kind of mandating of fuel, some kind of management of the fuel supply like rationing or restrictions is in stage four. So I think we've got a long way to go. But I thought he was calm and reassuring on that point. It'll be interesting to see how people around the country have heard it. I think the opposition will say that the message wasn't strong enough and that people are confused about exactly what they should be doing.
Tom, these kind of simulcast addresses are usually reserved for really significant consequential moments. You mentioned earlier, for some people, this will unlock memories of the COVID years, of Scott Morrison's address in early 2020, or Kevin Rudd's address during the global financial crisis, or even John Howard's address when he decided to send Australian troops into Iraq. If the intention from Anthony Albanese was to calm the nation, do you think an address like this could have had the opposite effect?
I think it's possible. I mean, I think today people around the country were genuinely nervous. I heard from some people trying to find out what he was going to announce and how drastic the situation was. I think the way these messages are received will be different in our modern era. I mean, I think a lot of people don't have much knowledge of the news and a lot of people were probably watching Netflix and had no idea the thing was happening. But it is possible that knowing that there's unusual things happening, knowing that the Prime Minister thought it was a moment of seriousness enough to speak to the country could put people on edge. But the government's clearly upping their communication strategy. There's been daily press conferences and they're trying to spread around as much information as they can. So I think it's a continuation of that strategy. And if we learn one lesson from COVID, it might be that clear, straightforward advice is what people respond best to rather than mixed messages or chopping and changing between political leaders. So in that sense, Anthony Albanese's got a difficult task trying to keep National Cabinet together, trying to speak clearly to the country at a difficult time.
The US and Israel's war on Iran is now in its fifth week. Many experts have been ringing the alarms about the scale of the fuel crisis for weeks. Why now? Why has the PM picked this moment to deliver this address? Has something changed?
Yes, I think the situation is getting more acute. When they started talking about the challenge of fuel supply, analysts were saying April is when things will get really hairy for Australia. There's a couple of factors leading to that. We're at the end of the supply chain. You know, the longer this kind of supply situation continues, the worse it can get. And we're seeing some shipments to Australia be interrupted or delayed. So I think the government will be cognizant that the next few weeks could be more difficult than the couple that we've already had. And this is the time to heighten the communication strategy and try and reassure people. Exactly how good their outreach to partners in Asia has been, how successful that message is, will be really tested. Equally, they're doing things like offering finance underwriting to companies buying fuel on international markets, and they're giving themselves powers to spend big dollars quickly to get extra supply where they become available. So look, I think it's a full court press, and I think this is kind of the public facing part of that. And it's interesting, you know, a 4-day long weekend coming up, Easter and Passover and people going to the beach or going to see family. Some of the questions about fuel supply will be more acute in the next few days, I think. And while there's been some positive movement on petrol and diesel and some of the numbers of stations where there's shortages have dropped a bit, I think the whole system's going to be tested in the next few days in a way that it might not have been in the past couple of weeks.
Tom, I want to ask you about the way that the Albanese government's response and language has been changing. Anthony Albanese was the first world leader to back the strikes, which were essentially the catalyst to this war, which legal experts and other world leaders have said were illegal. How has his language shifted as the economic toll and damage to Australia has gotten worse?
Yeah, it has shifted. It's shifted in the past 2 weeks, and I think it's shifted in the past 2 days. There was kind of a gentle message maybe 10 days ago, Anthony Albanese saying publicly that he believed the US had achieved its goals on Iran's nuclear program and missile capability. And this week he said that more clearly and more directly. He said that the view of the Australian government was that it was time for de-escalation or for the US and Israel to explain the timeline as they saw it for continued hostilities. And look, I think that's good politics, and I think it's probably good international behaviour from a middle power like Australia. Anthony Albanese knows that this war is unpopular, and Donald Trump's very unpopular in Australia, and he wants to put distance between himself and it because, as we've been discussing, there's real life consequences on fuel and on inflation. You know, there's been hit to consumer confidence and people are genuinely nervous about things around the community. So I think that's what's going on. He's trying to use a little bit of diplomacy with Donald Trump, a difficult thing to do, admittedly, and also deal with the domestic politics and put distance between the causes of fuel shortages and price rises and the views of voters about how they should be dealt with and who's responsible.
I want to ask you a bit more about that because you mentioned that this war is deeply unpopular. Labor and Albanese have taken a hit in the polls since they strongly backed the initial bombings. Guardian Essential polling indicates that only 1 in 4 people support the war. How do you think the public will respond to being told that they need to do their part?
It's a good question. I thought there was some opportunity in Albanese's language tonight. You know, he talked about Australian optimism, about looking after one another, about doing your bit. I think some of those things resonate with people, but I think the likelihood that Labor will be able to avoid a political price from the disruption in the economy, the geopolitical uncertainty is is probably limited. And these are the kinds of events that can really turn politics on their head a bit. So I think they'll be thinking about the politics of it quite a lot, and maybe that's what's underlying some of these decisions that the government's making in terms of communication. PM's at the press club on Thursday and will be ventilating a lot of this a lot more and answering a lot of questions from the Canberra Press Gallery. The big urgent challenge is that not far from where I'm speaking to you from, there's bureaucrats trying to put together a federal budget. That's due to come out in the second week of May. In the best of times, that's very difficult, but with such shifts on a kind of daily basis, you know, this blockade in the Strait of Hormuz, 20% of global oil supplies being held up, all kinds of things happening in the global economy, that's a really difficult task. So look, the government's challenges are growing, not lessening.
We'll be right back.